Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
It's good to be back here again with you.
Good to be back here on Sunday evenings.
Yeah.
I'm still in Pentecost mode.
Me too.
And Pentecost mode.
Amen, brother.
We definitely got to get to Peter, at least this
Who?
Show.
Oh, yeah.
At least this show. Because, you know, we did, I think, two shows on the falling of the Holy Spirit on the 120 in the upper room, and the rushing wind and the flames and the gifts. And we talked about what was happening there. And we kept saying, well, we're going to get to Peter in a minute. And then we never got to him. So now we're going to get to Peter in a minute.
He was in the green room for a while. He got tired of waiting.
That's right. He's fell asleep. I think we better go wake him up.
You guys going to have me on today? Come on, hurry up. Let's get with it.
Yeah, he was he was waiting for a little bit of radio time.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, we can't interview him, but we can talk about him.
That is true.
Yeah, so he was it's interesting that, you know, it says that they were all filled with the Spirit and they all started praising in tongues, and it doesn't really tell us what the rest of them did, but it's interesting that the scripture says they were all filled and they all began to speak in tongues. So some of, I'm sure everybody who's there probably did something that isn't recorded.
Yeah.
But, well, Peter got a pretty long speech recorded.
Yeah, he did. He basically wrote a whole chapter himself. Gave Luke some good writing material.
Yeah, he said, can I talk for about 30 verses? And they said, sure, go ahead.
Go ahead. I wonder if he was recording through SoundForge. Anyway. So, yeah, there were 120 people in the upper room. The Holy Spirit falls upon them, and they begin to speak in other tongues or other languages. And the people that are there in Jerusalem hear them in their own native language, and they're baffled by this.
Yeah, amazed.
Yeah.
Yeah, interestingly, it says...
bewildered.
It says, are not all these which are speaking Galileans? So some of the other guys must have been speaking too.
Yeah. Yeah, so the only account we really get... Well, we get the account of the Holy Spirit descending as and departing as tongues of fire upon the 120. But then... Luke writes about what Peter says there at Pentecost when he's empowered by the Holy Spirit. He's, you know, they're being transformed at this moment by the Holy Spirit to go out on the mission that Jesus told him about. Stay here and wait. You're going to be my witnesses throughout Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, but stay here and wait for the promise of the Father, which I've talked with you about, and that is the Holy Spirit. He's going to be your helper. And he's going to remind you of all the things that I told you. And when that happens, you know, you're going to be able to go out and make disciples of all nations.
Yeah. And I think as we described it the last couple of weeks, Jesus gives them the commission and the Holy Spirit gives them the power to do the commission. Because they certainly wouldn't have been able to do the commission without that.
No.
It would have been a sorry experience.
Well, if you see the transformation that takes place at this moment, I know we're a few weeks past Pentecost, but, you know, they're in the upper room. They've been with Jesus for, what, 40 days now since his resurrection? We're pretty close. Well, yeah, 40 days. When he ascended, there was still 9 days to go. And... Till Pentecost, that is. And they really didn't, you know, they were hiding in the upper room, basically, some, you know, out of fear for themselves.
Yeah.
But also, they were there in community. But they still didn't get or understand the full measure of what Jesus was talking about them going out and making disciples. But then... Once this happens, once the Holy Spirit descends upon them, I mean, Peter's just transformed into this awesome preacher
mm-hmm.
who's going to inspire, you know, the words that he's going to speak that are inspired by the Holy Spirit are going to cause the people that are there, a great number of them, to be cut to the heart and repent.
Yes. Yeah, that's...
And
yeah, a very powerful proclamation,
yeah.
not only of what happened, but then what they had to do as a result of
right.
that.
Right. And so, shall we get to
Peter? Yeah, let's do
Peter?
It.
All right,
yeah.
let's, without further ado.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure while we've been talking, you've opened your Bibles to Acts chapter 2.
I'm right there.
So, I mean, the radio audience.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry, okay.
All four of you. I hope you've opened it. Anyway, so we're going to start in 14, Acts 2:14, and maybe read down through 21.
Okay. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed to them, "You who are Jews, indeed all of you staying in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to my words. These people are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. It will come to pass in the last days, God says, that I will pour out a portion of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Indeed, upon my servants and my handmaids, I will pour out a portion of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will work wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and a cloud of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great day and splendid day of the Lord. And it shall be that everyone shall be saved who calls on the name of the Lord."
Ooh.
Wow.
Now, this is pretty amazing speech for Peter. He doesn't usually talk like this.
No.
And,
no, not at all.
We don't know. Maybe he had studied the prophet Joel and, you know, wondered were there two chapters or three chapters. But anyway.
Oh, that is a...
We don't know. We don't know that. But interestingly, you know, he responds to these people that say, oh, these guys have had too much new wine.
Right.
And he says, these people are not drunk, as you suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, the scripture even tells us what time the Holy Spirit came. It was 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I mean, just like you pointed out the one time that the guy wanted to go to where Jesus was staying, and it said mm-hmm. it's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, yeah.
So the writer, who's Luke, tells us the Holy Spirit fell at 9 o'clock in the morning because mm-hmm. he quotes Peter. And after 9 days of this, you know, intense prayer time, praying in one accord, the Spirit falls. And I presume that everybody in that room started praising and worshiping and yelling out in other tongues. And I mean, mm-hmm. it must have been like really pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And, the Spirit like transforms them mm-hmm. like right on the scene and not only empowers them like we've been talking about, but they're baptized in the Spirit.
Yeah.
All 120 of them at one time. I mean, it was like a big, you know, Life in the Spirit seminar.
Hey,
and they're euphoric, mm-hmm. and they have this amazing experience. And for those of you that have been baptized in the Spirit,
it's an amazing experience.
It's an amazing experience, and maybe you didn't see the fire and the rushing wind and stuff, but you get a pretty amazing experience.
Oh, yeah.
And because some of the scoffers, you know, and in any group of people, there's always going to be somebody scoffing.
Always a scoffer.
Even Palm Sunday, you remember there were people yeah. that said, well, who is this?
Who is this guy?
Like, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
There's always some scoffer. So the scoffer said, oh, these guys are drunk. They've probably been drinking all night.
Mm-hmm.
And so Peter, in response to that, uses the scripture to do a explanation of what's happening.
Right.
We don't know what the other people there... You know, there's men and women, 120 total, and only Peter's sermon is recorded. But I would think that the other 119 all did something.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that there were other sermons going around, but Peter's is the only one that's recorded, so we don't know what the other ones are saying. But he provides a scriptural explanation for what just happened here.
Yeah.
Has had nothing to do with wine. It has nothing to do with these guys just kind of like getting excited because they're sick of being in this room and they're like breaking out.
Yeah.
And but the way he does it, and you have to keep in mind, you know, what Peter's track record has been recently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he denied Jesus 3 times. You know, does the "do you love me" thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of figures, okay, now, you know, he still loves me even though I was kind of a jerk. And, you know, are you going to restore the kingdom now? And then Jesus ascends and then they go back to the upper room. I mean, mm-hmm. Peter's not exactly like, you know, the main speaker here.
Yeah.
And he's not, at this point though, he's been so transformed that he's not thinking about his denials of Jesus. He's not thinking about what happened before. He's not thinking about what they had been doing over the last 9 or 10 days. He's not thinking about the horrible mess of Holy Thursday night, Good Friday day, where
mm-hmm.
he basically ran away from the scene.
Right.
He's quoting scripture. And as we see later when we read some more of this, he's talking about Jesus in a powerful way,
mm-hmm.
that this is how you have to repent. You have to be baptized. This is how you come into the kingdom.
Yeah.
And he has the authority to stand up and teach. He stands up and he starts teaching.
Yeah.
This is the same guy.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, if you look back the 3 years that Peter walked with Jesus, I think when Jesus asked him, you know, who do you say that I am?
Mm-hmm.
Peter gets it right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but most of the other
times he did some good stuff.
Yeah, but most of the other times, there's a but.
Yeah.
But most of the other times, several times Jesus rebuked him.
Mm-hmm.
Get behind me! You're thinking as a human being and not as God does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's, even when he's, you know, when Jesus is washing the disciples' feet, you know, well, Lord, if you're going to wash my feet, then my head, you know, my hands and my head as well. No, Peter, you don't understand. If I don't wash you, you have no inheritance with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you look back at his track record, yeah, he wasn't always on track with, he wasn't on the same page. But here he's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And as you said, he's teaching with authority. And Jesus was one who taught with authority
mm-hmm.
because he had the authority.
Yes.
He was. Exactly. He is the authority.
Yeah. That's right.
And as an heir to the kingdom, you know, when the Holy Spirit's poured out upon us, as it is here in the Acts of the Apostles, we share in the same anointing
mm-hmm.
that came upon Jesus in the Jordan.
That's right.
And this is something that the early church understood very well, is that when the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus in the Jordan, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon him, and that's the same anointing that they shared in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It wasn't a different anointing. It wasn't a different Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit that descended onto Jesus in the Jordan when John sees him and says, the one whom the Spirit comes to rest upon, he's the Christ. He's mm-hmm. the Messiah.
Yeah. Yeah. And now that Peter's been filled with the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
he has that same authority.
Yeah.
The people who were commissioned by Jesus during the Great Commission, which were basically the 11, but now there's a 12th one added who's Matthias.
Right.
But those 12 are given authority to teach. They're the teacher. You know, this is where the term apostolic teaching comes from. It's the teachings that the apostles did.
Right.
They were not just some people who had, you know, caught a glimpse of Jesus walking by one day. These guys had been with him for 3 years' time.
Mm-hmm.
He gave them authority, gave them the commission. The Spirit conferred the power on them.
Mm-hmm.
And you see here, Peter stands up and starts to talk.
Yeah.
He would have never done that before.
No.
He would have never done that before. And he's not thinking about all this other stuff. He's preaching directly to everybody who's there, including the scoffers.
Mm-hmm.
He's already putting the Great Commission into effect because he's going to start proclaiming the word first in Jerusalem And then he's going to do it in plenty of other places.
Right.
Till finally they kill him in Rome. But this is an example that, you know, again, everything that applied to them also applies to us. I mean, we have to preach with authority. We have to preach. We have to tell people the gospel with authority. We have to tell people with authority what the scripture says and what, you know, the 2,000 years of Christian experience have been, and not let the culture railroad us into thinking, oh, well, you know, that might have been nice 2,000 years ago, but nobody really believes that anymore.
Yeah.
Because we have, like you say, we have that same spirit.
Right.
We should have that same authority to stand up and say, let me tell you something. This is what God's word says.
Yeah. I mean, we do have the same power to stand up like that. It's a matter of, you know, it's really a matter of the individual. What it comes down to is, do I allow, you know, the Holy Spirit to move in me that way? Where I'm going to, and it isn't about speaking in authority like a dictator, you know, but it's speaking the truth.
Right.
With.
Yes.
It's speaking the truth in confidence.
Yes.
With what God gives you.
Yes.
And that's what Peter does here. He speaks the truth with authority boldly.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes no qualms about or no, you know, there's no, you know, hey, look, I'm going to say a few things that might make you feel uncomfortable here, and I hope that, you know, nobody's offended by this, but here's what I'm going to talk about.
I don't want anybody to feel bad.
I don't want to make anybody feel bad. You know, I don't want to hurt bruise anybody's ego, because I know everybody's going to get a trophy after this. You know, that type of, you know, you're all here, you all get a trophy.
Yeah, for showing up.
You showed up, you made it here before Eldad and me, Dad, so you're good to go. No, there was none of that. There's none of that here.
No.
And what's missing in areas of the church today is this proclamation of truth with the authority that's been given by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That Jesus rose from the dead, there's forgiveness of sins in his name, and we're all sinners, and we all need the Messiah.
Yeah. He preaches very, very directly.
Yeah.
And he doesn't make it about him.
Right.
He doesn't say, well, listen, I'm Simon Peter, and Jesus kind of, you know, put me in charge of these guys, and I was kind of his, you know, confidant, and so therefore, I'm allowed to tell you some stuff. He doesn't talk about himself.
Nope.
He doesn't talk about the Holy Spirit, who's just fallen on everybody.
Nope.
Because as Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, he's going to testify of me.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter and the other ones all go out and testify about Jesus. He doesn't get involved in arguing with these guys. You know, there's scoffers, there's other people, what's going on here? I don't know. He doesn't say, oh, wait a minute, let me tell you what's going on. He just preaches it, and he doesn't get into disputes. He doesn't get into debates. He doesn't take up a collection. He just preaches from the scripture about what went on here.
You know, you bring up an interesting point there. He doesn't get into everybody's proclaiming the mighty acts of God in their own native language. He doesn't go into a dissertation explaining the gift of tongues or speaking in tongues or interpretation of tongues. He speaks about Jesus because the Holy Spirit points to Jesus. And how many times have we seen in sometimes prayer groups or prayer meetings and those types of things where something happens and then somebody tries to explain what's happening instead of proclaiming the gospel?
Yes, exactly.
You know, those things will, you know, God will take care of all that other stuff. Sometimes there's a need for explanation of things, but it's most important that people know when something like this happens, it's from God.
Yes.
And the reason it's from God is because we're to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yeah. And you see, he's not saying this because the other guy said, hey, Peter, why don't you go out and talk about this?
No.
Oh, I love this song.
This is a good song.
Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back. Yeshua
come, all creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. Thank you. place, be enthroned upon our praises. May our worship rise like incense as we magnify the Son. Mighty God of Israel, Lamb upon the throne, all blessing and honor to our God forevermore. Even so, hearts together, we come in one accord. The bonds of peace unite us in the Spirit of the Lord. For clothe us with salvation, robes of purest white, the body of Messiah. We are precious in your sight. Even so, Yeshua come. All creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So we're talking about Peter. He gets right into the prophet Joel. It's chapter 2 in most translations, chapter 3 in some translations.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But anyway.
Better not get into that.
Yeah,
no.
Toward the end of Joel chapter 2, or the very beginning of Joel chapter 3, Peter talks about what the prophet Joel, who was a minor prophet, talked about.
Like and Isaiah?
No. Isaiah's
a major prophet.
Major prophet.
Oh, that's okay.
Capital M, major prophet.
That's not the same as major and minor chords, right?
No. Joel's a minor, little major. M prophet.
Okay.
But he's still awesome. And interestingly, and you know, of course, because those of you that are listening are well versed in the scripture. So you know that a major prophet doesn't mean he's so much more important than the minor prophet. It just means they wrote more stuff.
Oh, okay.
You know, Joel sat down and just wrote some cute
little stuff.
A little bit.
But
anyway.
Can I get this published? Okay, sure.
But the interesting thing is Joel writes under the inspiration of the same Holy Spirit that we've been talking about, the same Holy Spirit that's now transformed Peter. And instead of Peter writing this down like Joel wrote down what became scripture, he's doing it verbally, and Dr. Luke writes it down eventually, but it's the inspiration of the same Spirit. And as you can see, Peter's following directions that Jesus gave them in the Great Commission, because he addresses it to the men of Judea. He's talking to the Jewish men that are there. And, you know, they were to preach to the Jew first and then the Gentile. So here Peter directs it to the Jews, the men of Judah, men of Judea, who are dwelling in Jerusalem, and because this was Shavuot, Pentecost, and it was a pilgrimage feast, there were these Jewish men there from all over these places that, that's described. And he basically says, you know, I'm going to tell you what happened here because the prophet Joel already talked about this. So pay attention. You're the guys who didn't want to hear Jesus when he was here, but now you're going to hear me. You know, Jesus isn't here right now, but I'm here and I'm going to tell you something. And he points out that this is the outpouring of the Spirit that Joel talks about. And they probably knew those readings, but he also points out that this is in Scripture, and this is now coming because of Jesus dying and rising. And so this is the importance of the word that the Old Testament prophet got. And again, the New Testament events, the New Testament Scripture, are a direct result of the Old Testament Scripture.
Right.
And Peter points out to them that because of all these things, you better listen carefully to what I'm saying.
Right.
Because this Spirit's been poured out.
Right. It's, you know, it's a, the prophecy's coming to fruition. It's coming, you know, it's being fulfilled, I should say. And he does, he's, you know, he speaks with that authority. But I was thinking about, you know, how when the Spirit was poured upon the 72 in Moses, when Moses was in the, you know, when they were in the camp, when Eldad and Medad were late. And they prophesied once, and then they didn't do it again. You know,
Book of Numbers,
right? Same Spirit, but in a different measure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. This is a this is the New Testament outpouring. This is the full outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is, like we talked about, Pentecost, Shavuot was the big harvest.
Right.
The first fruits was the little harvest. This is the big harvest because now the harvest is going not only through Israel, but to all the nations. So Peter preaches to these guys and says, and first of all, you get, you see right away, you can figure this out, that this was not a prepared statement. He didn't sit in that upper room for 3 days.
Writing it out.
Thinking, oh, let's see, what should I say? Okay, let's see, men of Judah. Okay, okay, that's a good start. You know, and, you know, he didn't say to all the other people there, hey, what do you think of this? Do you think I should include this?
Yeah.
Do you think I should include that? This is obviously the Holy Spirit poured out into Peter, just like when you see the prophets that said things under inspiration of the Spirit.
Yep.
The prayers that are said under inspiration of the Spirit, he has a totally, this is not the way Peter generally talks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like when we talked about, Mary, the Virgin Mary at Elizabeth's house and she, you know, says the Magnificat,
Magnificat,
the
right.
Song of Mary. This is probably not how Mary talked
right.
on a day to day level.
Right.
Because this, she was, it said she was filled with the Spirit and she said this, you know, Peter is filled with the Spirit. And he says this. It's, he had no idea 1 minute before he started talking what he was going to say.
Right.
It just all comes out.
I was going to say they had no idea that the Holy Spirit was going to fall at that time either.
That's right.
So Peter wouldn't have had any way to prepare and say, okay, when this happens, then I'm going to do
exactly.
this.
Exactly. Yes.
And it's going to be great, you know, because.
Good point. Right. Exactly. So we know it wasn't pre-prepared.
Right. So he didn't have a speechwriter?
Yeah.
No teleprompters?
No.
No cue cards?
No.
That was awesome.
No.
That's awesome.
And, you know, Peter talks about how this, Joel was talking about this was going to happen in the last days. You know, the last days refers to the time after Messiah. You know, the last day started when Jesus came.
Right.
Now, we talk all the time about the last days and everybody pretty much agrees that, you know, we're in the last of the last days, and whether Jesus comes back today, which I hope he does, or next week, or in 50 years, or in 10 years, or whatever it is, we're in the last days,
because
it started then. He says the Spirit would be poured out in full measure in the last days, because now we're in the Messianic kingdom.
Yeah, it's probably important to point out that, you know, once Jesus ascended, that's the beginning of the last days until he returns again. So
yeah.
that day until he comes back is all, that whole period is going to be the last days or the end times. Yeah.
Yeah. Full measure. And, you know, as we said, as you were talking about Eldad and Medad in the book of Numbers, Old Testament people did get Holy Spirit power, mm-hmm. but for a brief time.
Right.
They prophesied, but they never did it again.
Right.
The great prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the minor prophets, Joel, Zechariah, mm-hmm. they'd be filled with the Spirit. They would say something, write something, and then it would be done.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys, the New Testament church, is filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's an ongoing filling.
The New Covenant.
New Covenant. It's a full measure. It's the Messianic Kingdom. This is what was prophesied from the beginning, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And it applies to us today.
Still does.
It's not, the Holy Spirit didn't just work Pentecost morning, and then after that, these guys were on their own.
Right.
And
right.
In, you know, if it's 2016, or if it's 1302, or if it, you know, Jesus doesn't come back and it's 2116, the Holy Spirit will still be working.
Wow. Well, that's true. The Holy Spirit's going to be working until he comes back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unfortunately, you know, if you look at the history of the church, there's times where people didn't think the Holy Spirit wasn't longer necessary, or it wasn't going to be like this. Like, okay, well, that was for a certain time, yeah. and then we don't need that anymore.
Yeah.
Well, big mistake, because if you're not being inspired and propelled by the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
who's doing the work?
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm doing the work myself, and God's not building the house, I labor in vain.
That's right. And if you see in our day the condition of most of the churches, mm-hmm. you can see that they're not letting the Holy Spirit work.
Right.
And,
you know, it's when the Holy Spirit works and when the Holy Spirit moves, you know, it's a radical departure sometimes from the norm.
Yeah.
You know, let's put it that way. But nonetheless, it is the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who can contain the infiniteness of God,
yeah.
and the power of God?
Mm-hmm.
No one.
No one. And that power, you know, Peter tells us, because he's quoting from Joel, who's one of my favorite minor prophets. He's quoting from Joel.
I've heard you say that before.
Yeah. 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 It says the Spirit will be poured out on all flesh. In other words, on everybody.
Everybody. Yep.
Everybody. It's going to be poured out on everybody, and it's in a full measure. Now, all flesh means, wait a minute, there's going to be Gentiles getting filled with the Spirit, too.
Mm-hmm.
What's this world coming to? Gentiles are getting filled
What's
with the
happening?
Spirit, too.
Yeah.
Like at Cornelius' house is the best example.
Oh, yeah.
The circumcised believers say, wait a minute, why is the Holy Spirit falling on these guys?
He's getting the same measure poured out to him as we got.
Yeah, exactly.
The other morning.
That's right. That's right.
What's going on with that?
Yeah. And then he talks about, you know, different levels and types of people, you know, young men, old men, servants, handmaids. They're all going to get the Spirit. They're all going to dream dreams. They're going to prophesy. They're going to have gifts. It's not going to be, they're going to have revelation. They're going to have prophecy, and it's not going to be tied to, well, just the priestly class is going to experience this, or just the rich people are going to get it, or mm-hmm. just the really poor people that Jesus loved were going to get it.
That's a good point.
Everybody's going to get it.
That's a good point.
And this is the kingdom. Like I say, this is the kingdom of Messiah is now here.
It's a good point because, one, there was the Levitical priesthood,
mm-hmm.
and there was, you know, the ones who could offer the sacrifice. You have the scribes and the Pharisees, which were, you know, they kept the law, and they taught. But now, everybody's going to receive the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Who believes? Who comes to believe? Mm-hmm. And they're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit the same way that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan when the Holy Spirit descended upon him. And I'm going to say that again because it's really important for people to understand that the Holy Spirit that we received isn't a different spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same Holy Spirit. It's the same personified love of the Father and the Son that descends upon us and inspires us and empowers us
mm-hmm.
to go out and preach the gospel and to proclaim the truth of the kingdom of God. And that same spirit, just as the same spirit enabled Peter to go out and do this, we have the same ability to do that.
Yes.
If we avail ourselves to God's
yes.
will.
And that's the key. We have to be open
mm-hmm.
and we have to let the Spirit work.
Right. We have to get out of the way. I have to get out of the way and allow the Spirit to just, you know, to go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure that many of you listening have experienced that. I've experienced it many times where you get a prompting, you get a word from the Lord that, okay, this is done now or this is going to be. And you say, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, let me tell you what I think I'm going to do that has nothing to do with what you just heard.
Right.
Because you're not, you have to be open and you have to also be docile.
Yeah.
So when you know it's the Spirit telling you something, yeah. you say, okay, I'm going to do that.
Yeah. This was a long time ago when I was standing there, we're first in the renewal, and there was one person who would give words and they would talk, and then they would talk a long time. And I would always think, wow, they really get a lot of stuff from the Lord. And as time went on, I began to realize that the first part was what they got from the Lord. The second longer part was their own interpretation or understanding of what they were trying to explain. And it became apparent that at a certain point, like you were saying, there's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspires us to give a word of knowledge mm-hmm. that's from the Lord. And then that's it.
Yep.
We're supposed to be, you know, we finish what we're saying and that's it. We don't need to prolong it and go on and, you know, put our own two cents into it, because then we're actually clouding what God wants to do or the word that God's giving. And it can take on a whole different meaning and measure that God maybe never intended. So it's important to be docile and then get out of the way.
Yeah.
Let God work.
That's an excellent point. Yeah, you don't need to put your own commentary into it.
No. And Peter, you know, Peter doesn't, you know, we see Peter's not doing that here.
Right.
He's proclaiming what was prophesied in the book of Joel.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't get into any, he's not distracted.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't get off course. And then, I don't know if we're ready to go on to the next part, but then he really gets into the severity of what's at stake here.
Yeah, this great and terrible day of the Lord is, you know, of course, a sort of an ominous sounding thing.
Yes.
And there was, like everything else, you know, there's two comings of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
There's sort of, you know, two advents. There's a lot of, you know, sort of repeated double things. And there was a great and terrible day of the Lord in 70 AD when Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And all these things that Joel talks about, even historically, and most of you have heard of the historian Josephus, if you read his stuff, before Jerusalem was destroyed, there were all kinds of signs in the sky and comets and all kind of lights. I mean, there were things going on at Passover that never went on before. And, you know, the Levitical priests were kind of mystified as to what was exactly happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, they weren't relating it to Joel. They didn't understand what Yeshua had said. But Peter's, and then, of course, there'll be another great and terrible day of the Lord when Jesus comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And for many people, it'll be terrible. For everybody, it's going to be great. But, you know, the things were different now because the blood of the Son of Man had been shed. The Spirit had come. So now all these people listening to Peter had to make a decision on what they were going to do.
Mm.
Oh, it's a break already.
We'll have to wait till the next side of the break.
Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Running to his peaceful kingdom, shouting they lay down their swords. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go.
go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Spirit of burning, let your beautiful fruit shine forth, that everyone who's left inside will be called holy forevermore. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Rise and shake the earth so mightily. Send your glory all across the land. Then everything that's proud and lofty will bow down before the Son of Man. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Over all the glory, there will be a covering. Cloud and smoke all through the day. Flaming fire all through the night. Tabernacle for the shade. Shelter from the pouring rain. When the Lord is washed away, feel the blood of the fire.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Before we start reading the next thing, you know, it says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So even though these great and terrible days of the Lord are coming, mm-hmm. if you call upon the name of the Lord, meaning Jesus, you're going to be saved.
Yeah.
Because Yeshua had come to bring salvation, and that's how you're going to escape condemnation.
Amen.
And he is preaching this in such a powerful way that he basically tells them there's great and terrible days coming, and this is going to be the only way you're going to be saved.
Yeah. Yeah. I think about that a lot when, you know, I think about what happened in the Gulf of Cancun where I said, God help me. You know, nothing happened. And then I said, Jesus saved me, and something happened. You know, so I think about that. There's great power in the name of Jesus, and you know, you use the name of Jesus with great respect, obviously, but there's great power and authority in the name of Jesus. There's all power and authority mm-hmm. in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and now the Holy Spirit was working in the church. Mm-hmm. I mean, up until this moment, the whole church was those 120 people, yeah. I think. I mean, there might have been a couple of people out in the country that were believers that weren't in the upper room, but
right.
I mean, basically, this was the whole church.
Yeah.
And, you know, the ascension has happened, so Jesus is, you know, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Holy Spirit's working in the church. There's not going to be, you know, as we talk about commonly, there's not going to be another Messiah. There's not going to be another Testament.
Right.
There's not going to be another plan of salvation.
Right.
This is the eternal covenant, as Jesus yeah. said. And the coming of the Spirit, which had been foretold by Jesus to these guys, now had happened. And so now they knew the Great Commission, they were going to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So now they were going to be able to go
exactly.
and preach to the nations.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And not worry about, you know, is the kingdom of Israel going to be restored at this time? Those
yeah.
types of things. That wasn't their purpose and mission.
That's right.
And they quickly understood what the focus was going to be.
Yeah.
And what the purpose and what the mission, you know, what's the mission? What's the purpose of the coming of the Spirit? The purpose yeah. of Jesus dying on the cross, ascending to heaven, and the Holy Spirit coming. And, you know, do we go back to fishing?
Mm-hmm,
that was, yeah. that was no more.
Do we start an internet business?
Yeah, no. that was no more. No, we're going to be, this is what we're going to be doing.
Yeah. And interestingly, Peter, like I said before, Peter doesn't preach the Holy Spirit. He preaches Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Preaches Jesus. Calls him Jesus of Nazareth because that's what they yeah. knew him as.
Yes.
I mean, there were a lot of people around named Yeshua,
mm-hmm.
but when he said Jesus of Nazareth, they knew who he was talking about.
Yeah.
And people who lived in the city knew who he was, knew what had been happening. And he said, you know, God sent him with signs and wonders,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the leaders rejected him, but, you know, God approved him and made him Messiah.
Yeah.
And you guys are witnesses of this. We're witnesses of this.
Mm-hmm.
And his death was planned out by the leaders, but it was also the plan of salvation that had planned out his death.
Right.
We all witnessed this. You guys all witnessed this. And some of you people who are here listening to me now may have been in those crowds yelling, crucify him. You guys actually put him to death, so you better repent.
Mm-hmm.
This is powerful stuff.
Yeah.
Shall
we read it?
Yes.
Okay. So this is Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 22.
Mm-hmm.
You who are Israelites, hear these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God with mighty deeds, wonders, and signs, which God worked through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this man delivered up by the set plan and foreknowledge of God, you killed, using lawless men to crucify him. But God raised him up, releasing him from the thrones of death, because it was impossible for him to be held by it.
Woo. Yeah,
wow.
That's awesome.
Then he quotes David.
Yeah, then he gets to David, which yeah. is pretty cool too, because, you know, the Messiah is the son of David afterwards,
yeah.
after all. But he testifies to them about Jesus, that he died, that he rose, because, you know, in Psalm 16, it says he's not going to let his Holy One see decay.
Right.
3 days, you know, parts of 3 days in the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
The Jews believe that on the fourth day he started to decay. So he conquers death, which is the last enemy. Death can't hold him.
Yeah.
So he says, we're all witnesses of this.
Yeah.
We saw this happen. And mm-hmm. now we're telling you, and you guys have two choices. Either you repent and you're baptized and you come into the kingdom, or you just go out there the way you're doing and you just face the great and terrible day of the Lord on your own.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he goes, you know, he talks about David and how he was buried in the tomb. And, you know, there's a lot here, and I know we're not going to be able to get to it all before the end of this show.
Because we got about a minute left.
Yeah. We're going to have to pick back up on this next week. But, Peter's preaching with power,
mm-hmm.
truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what makes something powerful is that it's truth.
Yeah.
You know, if you're saying something and it's really not, and it's not truth,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't have any power to it.
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't have lasting power to it, let me put it that way. But David goes through very, very precisely what happens and what has happened and how it's a set plan and by the foreknowledge of God. And you killed him using lawless men to crucify him. You had this, you know, this midnight trial that was illegal.
Illegal.
And you use that as the means to crucify him and put him to death.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's speaking boldly the truth to people that may have been there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It takes a lot of courage to do that, and not of your own courage, but the power of the Holy Spirit to do that.
And as Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will convict people. I mean, these people there were convicted, as we're going to see. If we ever get toward the end of that, where it says they say, where they say, brethren, what are we to do?
Yeah.
Because they were convicted by this. Mm-hmm. Some of them were yelling, crucify him.
Yeah.
Some of them were there going, good. I'm glad they finally got rid of this troublemaker. And the show's already over.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of stuff here. Anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
We'll have to come back next week and finish this up. and we just pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would come upon you, and that you would be open to receiving this gift that has been the promise of God from the time that Jesus told to his disciples that it was that the Holy Spirit was coming. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.